This episode is brought to you by EmilyNow.ca, the shortest distance between your business and the money that it needs. As a busy entrepreneur, you don't have time to meet with bankers, to meet with brokers, to meet with financial consultants, or anybody else that says they can help you. The truth is, from your mobile phone or from your computer, it should be relatively simple to figure out, can my business get the money that it needs and what's going to be required to do it? If you go to EmilyNow.ca, you can create a profile, send it out to bankers who will give you kind of an initial response as to what they think of it, and then from there you can decide to share your information with them or even go so far as to put a digital presentation together so that they can approve you. Times have changed and getting money for your business has changed as well. Go to EmilyNow.ca to get started. Where there is no vision, the people perish. What problem your business trying to solve? Playing defense means your best upside is to not lose ground. Playing offense means your best upside is to gain ground.
What can your business do to 100x its revenue and profit?
Welcome to this edition of Dylan's Podcast. My name is Dylan Gallagher, and I'm the host of this podcast. The purpose of this podcast is to help make your business awesome. And how? Well, I think there's an entrepreneur out there right now that could probably use something we're going to be talking about in this episode. And my hopes are to share my experiences, some of the things I'm thinking about. I'm a finance guy, and so for the last 20 years, I've gotten to have a lot of experiences and a lot of opinions. I've made a ton of mistakes, so if you're an entrepreneur listening to this and you think you're alone, well, you're not. I've probably made most of the mistakes you're either making now or you're going to make, and so if I can help someone today avoid a mistake or be better informed, then that would be the point of this podcast as well. I get to explore some of my own thoughts as I build out a couple of different businesses and look to leverage up the time and the resources that I have. So I know entrepreneurs are typically very busy running their businesses, and so my hopes are that I can pick things that are interesting and engaging enough that this is worth listening to, not just this time, but every time. On today's episode, got a couple things to talk about. I'm going to be chatting about making people more valuable, how the folks in your organization can be retooled. And this is a theme that I sort of seem to be on these days, and so I just wanted to explore that a little more. Having seen a company called ClearPath Robotics, it was featured on the EmilyNow.ca blog, and it gave me some things that I wanted to share. Also wanted to talk about how the markets are just getting smoked and what that means for us as business owners and entrepreneurs that may be inside of a marketplace that's experiencing a lot of turmoil. Also wanted to chat about how opportunity doesn't really disappear, it just moves, and how short-term thinking can really not be the best thing for us as entrepreneurs. And then just kind of some other ideas about patents and a lunch that I had with a couple of lawyers and a conversation that ensued about sort of IP and trademarks and that sort of thing. So let's get started. A couple things just hanging around in the news that I found interesting. For those of you that follow the tech world, there is a pretty awesome little company that is now ginormous called Zenefits. And they last week they announced the firing of their CEO, who garnered quite a bit of attention because Zenefits has been a media darling in the tech community. And so he was let go, probably not for all the reasons that we can read about in the news, but nonetheless, he's not there anymore. So pretty scary as an entrepreneur that you can build a company, you can help get it to a certain point, and then you can be let go. Many times those reasons can be founded, but I've seen situations where they are unfounded and can be terribly unfortunate. In fact, the individual that brought me into the business I'm in now ended up taking a company public and getting kicked out of the company from his own board, and took the business from nothing to a pretty successful business, which subsequently crashed and burned. But I got to witness firsthand and sort of walked with that entrepreneur as they were going through this time, and it can be pretty tough. So just a reminder to all of us that are out there building businesses that Obviously, you got to love the business that you're in, but it's also helpful to have some long-term thinking so that you can prepare yourself for some of those moments that your business will inevitably go through where other people will be questioning your motives. And not suggesting for a minute that the CEO of Zenefits had pure motives. I don't know him. I haven't had the chance to talk to him. I only know what you would know reading the media reports, but a pretty serious issue nonetheless to consider if you're running a business, that you need to know how to protect yourself and how to protect your business from people that might want to come in and really, really change it. One of the themes I was chatting about last week was this idea that if your business is really, really struggling, maybe you've been in business for a decade or for a bunch of years and you are finding it really frustrating that the people that are working for you are not giving you the result that you want, or you're not getting the result that you want from the people that are hanging out every day. And sort of the idea that I soft pitched in the last episode was that people should maybe not be used for moving data around. And the example I had given was, you know, taking your staff, letting them enter in invoices and cut checks and collect money and go to the bank, that there's software that can fix all of that and can allow your people instead, for the few people or the many people that you might have on your team, to maybe redeploy them and to put them into areas where they can just focus on giving your customers an amazing experience. And kind of all the paperwork and moving data around between systems is better handled by integrating maybe some software into the things that you're doing. Or maybe having your staff work really hard with vendors so that you're getting better deals on the materials or the things that you're purchasing. So people should be utilized to do things that software cannot do. And that is a lot of times interpret the information as well as do some of the human things like interacting with vendors and with customers. And so at emilynow.ca, the blog that's there, actually it's blog.emilynow.ca, talked about a company called ClearPath Robotics. And so it's interesting, I don't know much about the robotics business. I only know what I happen to catch in the news or some interesting ideas. But what I think of robotics, I think of sort of Amazon and their automated warehouses where they have these flat robots that are able to move on tracks and grab product from the shelves and kind of move it through the production line and get it out to shipping, and very little interaction with humans. But this neat little company out of Canada ClearPath Robotics has created a product called Auto 1500, and it sort of seems to be the next iteration of where robotics is going. And so, at one time used to have a piece of machinery and it had to be moved through recognizing barcodes, or it saw a track on the ground and kind of followed it, whereas this particular machine doesn't require any of that. In fact, they use an entirely different process for figuring it out. They end up using sort of state-of-the-art mapping software, if you will, that will map out your facility and then the robot can move within it. But it just got me thinking again that the people that you have working in your business, they're really not a cost center. Robots, they're a cost center. I mean, I'm sure there's an ROI formula that can be used to figure out whether or not they're worth it. But really, the people in your business, if you run a business right now and you know your team, to look at your team and say, what value are they adding to me right now? How are they helping me to make better decisions, or how am I helping them make better decisions? And why is it important to make better decisions? Well, obviously, we want our businesses to do more. We want them to be more profitable. We probably would like them to service or deliver goods to more customers. And a lot of times we can be restricted from doing that because we just get caught up doing the stuff of the business. And that can be obviously managing people. But it can also be having your people just simply pushing data around and being redundant and not adding a lot of value. So as I was reading, ClearPath Robotics and listening to them on their website, rather, listening to them talk about the Auto 1500 and reading the blog entry at emilynow.ca, it just sort of reinforced to me that as the people in your business that are coming in every day, if they're just stuck doing kind of redundant low-level work, first of all, it's probably not a great place for them to be coming in if they're not being challenged and stretched. But really, it's your customers that are losing out in the end, because there's probably a lot of things that your customer is not getting from your business. I mean, let's face it, no business is perfect. But a lot of times it's the customers that can be forgotten about because we just get busy doing stuff in the business. You know, we forget what it means to be a customer trying to interact with a company. It can be frustrating. It can be full of friction. And, you know, this ClearPath company just reminded me, even as I think about my own businesses, that you've really got to value the people that you have, and you've got to give them the kind of the room that they need to do a lot for your business. And so your accounting team shouldn't be a data entry team. Really what your accounting team should be is they should be telling you what the numbers mean and how to improve them. They should be able to run scenarios for you. They should be looking for opportunities to save money. Your operations teams, you know, they shouldn't just be training staff on how to do a better job, but rather they should be looking at how to shrink time frames for getting information between the various departments that your company might have. Your customer service team, you know, they shouldn't just be sitting on a phone answering calls. They should be figuring out a way to proactively engage with customers and maybe get new business or find new business opportunities, or to sit with you, the owner, and say, here's some of the things I'm noticing that if we were able to do something about it, we probably could generate some more revenue. So anyway, I know I talked about this on the last podcast, but it just continues as I look into the economy, as I look at the total carnage that's happening out there with small businesses, with the low price of oil, with the promise of rising interest rates on the horizon, even though it may not be justified today. It continues to reinforce to me that businesses just don't have the privilege of continuing to expend their resources on things that don't produce a result. And staff and people and human beings should, in this day and age, should be able to produce a result no matter what their job description is, that they're not just cost centers, that really the days of having people do manual work is now being shifted into people having to have knowledge. They have to know how to use software. They have to know, you know, how to use Excel as an example. They have to know how to read and understand information so that they can make better decisions. And if your business is stuck in, you know, a decade or more's, you know, theology of how to run a business, you know, it might be worth revisiting. It might be worth, you know, maybe sending me a note and saying, hey, Dylan, here's some things my business is facing right now. What would you suggest we could do to get a better experience for our customers, to have our staff enjoy what they're doing, and then ultimately to have low-level work that really is important but isn't hugely, you know, valuable. You know, maybe we can get some software solutions in place. So anyway, again, thinking about, again, those markets getting smoked and where the opportunities are, I learned many, many, many years ago through reading books from folks that have been there and done that, that opportunity doesn't disappear. You know, it just moves. Every time one part of the economy is not doing good, another part of the economy is doing good. Money doesn't disappear. When you think of the stock market, for every stock that's going down, there's a stock that's going up. And money just shifts and it just moves around. And so no matter what your business is, many businesses obviously are highly sensitive to certain parts of what's happening in the economy. But for the most part, entrepreneurs and business owners that are providing products and services into the economy, they shouldn't be terribly riled by what's happening. They should have a business where they know how to attract customers, they know what their margin is, they know how to retain customers and ask for more business and do cross sells and do upsells. And really what happens in tough, tough economic times is that the weaker businesses usually don't hang around and the stronger businesses survive. And not that I'm looking to get a bunch of hate mail, but I really believe that you should try to figure out what would it take for our business to be a monopoly? How could we monopolize a part of the market? Now, you might say to yourself, well, our market is ginormous and there are a ton of competitors in our marketplace. Well, every marketplace has a niche. There, within every market, there is a group of customers that will respond to the type of product and service that you're offering, the way that you're offering. And so your goal as an entrepreneur should be to figure out, how do we dominate that space? How do we become the best at servicing this particular group of customers that we can define really, really well? And I can't tell you how many times I have not done that and have thought that maybe I could service everybody or I could service a broader market than what our resources were capable of servicing, and how many times that mistake has resulted in financial challenges, has resulted in my personal frustration and angst and sleepless nights. And it should serve as a reminder for you, if you run a business, that there's always an opportunity somewhere. The chances, I mean, unless you're selling, horse-drawn carriages, to give the old buggy whip example, unless you're selling a product that's obsolete, then obviously this advice doesn't mean anything. But if you offer a product or service that is recognized as valuable in the marketplace and there just simply is a lot of competition for it, and when the market goes down, it means it gets tougher to compete, you just have to figure out how to become best in class. How can your organization utilize its people to deliver an amazing experience? And then how can you utilize technology and hardware and other tools to make your business run better so that you can maintain your margins and in a down market can actually grow instead of shrink? And I think that the logical conclusions many entrepreneurs come to is, well, that's life. Business is tough. There's not really much I can do about it. And so therefore, why should I try? I'm just going to throw in the towel. And that's too bad, because when there's blood in the streets, that's when real money is made. And if you go back in history and look at many of the successful businesses, they weren't necessarily built when times were good. They were actually built when times are bad. If you look into the technology world today, there's this concept called unicorns, which are these highly valued, massively huge global companies that all of a sudden seem to be taking a bit of a hit. And there's probably lots to talk about here, but the bottom line is, for the last couple of years, money has been easy to get for technology companies. Venture capitalists and big hedge funds and big investment companies have been looking to come into the technology sector, so they've been pumping money in. So whether you were creating a new filter for Instagram or you were creating a new way to deliver a service utilizing, say, the on-demand economy, something like an Uber or an Airbnb, it was pretty easy to attract capital. Now that the market is experiencing the kind of turmoil that it's experiencing, not so easy to get that money. Definitely not that easy to introduce a new idea to the marketplace. And in fact, if you look at the stock of LinkedIn over the past 2 weeks, they lost a tremendous amount of market value just because of how the market has been so nervous about these technology companies and how they've presumably grown so quickly at these high valuations, only to see that there's nothing really underneath it, or not as much underneath the fundamental business as they thought. So what does this mean for you as an entrepreneur or business owner? First of all, it means that if your business is experiencing some turmoil because of tough economic conditions, that you've got to reevaluate your business and really understand what is the value you bring to the marketplace. Now, that can be notional. We provide a service and it makes people feel good. But it also has to be financial. You have to be able to articulate in math, I mean, you would never probably tell this to your customers, but in math, you need to understand what value do we bring to the marketplace, and whether you're providing a discretionary product or you're providing a high price service, you have to be able to understand what value do you bring, and when the economy is struggling, how do you even lean in more to that value and how do you grow your business? If you happen to run a business that is not affected by a negative economy, in fact, right now your business happens to be doing very, very well, then the key for you is to figure out, how do we not grow past our reach? So many businesses will leverage, they'll borrow more money to try and grow faster because they see an opportunity in front of them, but they don't work out their margins or they don't work out how they're going to repay that money. And so it's great that they grow while times are tough, but then when the economy winds blow the other way, they then find themselves in a very difficult position of having to either service the debt or give investors a return, and they're not able to do it. So, like everything, know your business and know your margins. The last little idea I wanted to throw around here was based on a lunch that I had with a couple of lawyers. We were talking about trademarking and patents, and, you know, I think there's merits to trademarking, just so that you can, I think there's some protection available there, but I'm not sure I totally see the value of patents. In fact, you know, part of me says you know, if I look at Tesla, or if I look at some of the other companies in the marketplace, I kind of see that, like Bombardier, for example, the Financial Post ran an article about how to just share, you know, your patents and your concepts for free because it betters the whole market. And I think that's probably where I'm at with it. I think if the only reason you're financially successful, or rather, if the only reason your business is financially successful is because it has a patent, I think that's fine. I think some business owners are purely driven by greed and by profit, and that works for them. And so obviously the patent system is wonderful for them. But I think more times than not, entrepreneurs are more interested in creating value where there was none before. And that value doesn't necessarily mean a patent. I think that that value represents something that has made people's lives better, has made people's lives easier, and that the patent really, if that's the only way to protect the idea, then it's probably not a very good idea in the first place as it relates to furthering, you know, people's lives. If you provide a great product or you provide a great service, customers will let you know whether or not it in fact is valuable. If your customer service experience is wonderful, if your customers can't stop talking about your product, it's usually the brand that wins out in the end, from a market cap perspective, or getting as much of the market as you can, instead of the patents and how many people you were able to keep away from the idea. So I don't know, maybe part of me as an entrepreneur just thinks that, you know, if I have a great idea and somebody comes along and wants to copy it, that for me, that should just be an encouragement to be more competitive and to work harder. And if I genuinely have a good secret sauce, then, you know, the way I protect that secret sauce is by making it better and better and better and better. And, you know, these days it feels like nothing's protected anyway. I mean, things can be reverse engineered. You can go to other countries where patent law isn't upheld. And so it sort of makes the whole exercise somewhat frivolous. And I just think it takes the wrong approach. It seems to me that a company would play defense all the time instead of playing offense and trying to continue to just make a better and better product or service. So I was, we were having this lunch. I was having lunch with some IP lawyers. And so obviously they didn't necessarily completely share my opinion. But I don't know. I just sort of thought I would share that because I think, you know, the whole trademark and patent and IP protection can be somewhat, for small businesses like mine, I think it can be somewhat of a distraction, but I'm sure there's a balance to be kept somewhere. So anyway, I appreciate you listening to this episode. I hope that for the one entrepreneur out there that was maybe struggling with what to do in a down market, or maybe was wondering, what do I do with my staff? I just feel like I need something fresh to happen in my business, that there were some ideas in this podcast that helped you think about that. And if you've got any questions about finance or business in general, I certainly would welcome the opportunity to try and help in any way that I can. I can be reached on all the social networks, or most of them anyway, from LinkedIn to Facebook to Twitter. I've got a blog, dylangallagher.ca, that you can go and hunt down. But I love business. I love helping entrepreneurs. It doesn't cost a lot to get an opinion from me, and I love hearing myself talk, which is also good if you have some things you want to push around. So thanks for listening to this episode, and I look forward to catching you on the next one.